Father, I thank you that we can give you the highest praise. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much, that you gave us your best. You gave us your beloved. Jesus, you honor our beloved. We worship you this morning. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you send as a gift to us, Father. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to teach us the heart of the Father this morning, to show us how to align ourselves with the season that we are in, and especially with the Father's heart. Amen. So this morning, strange topic. I call on Caesar, or I appeal to Caesar. We find that in Acts 25, verse 1 to 12. That's our key passage. So, Paul is in a period of his life where he is standing. What do I mean by standing? Normally when the Lord calls us, we are sitting. That's a time when we are learning. We are learning the spiritual life. We are learning how to walk in faith, how to walk in the Spirit. Find it in Ephesians 1 and 2, chapter 1 and 2, is where we sit with the Lord. We are seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Why? Because we identify with Jesus. Ephesians 2 says, because Jesus died, we died in him. Because he was crucified, we were crucified in him. Because he was resurrected, we were resurrected in him. So we are literally baptized into Jesus. When the Father looks at us, he looks through Jesus at us. And that's why we can be righteous in Jesus. Because Jesus that became sin, because he became sin, we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. So we sit, then we walk. We see it in Paul's life. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. We find it in Acts, the book of Acts. And he learned from him for a while. And then when he was in the church of Antiochia in Syria, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. And the Holy Spirit sent them out. They started walking. Sit, walk. Now we find Paul in a period of his life where he's standing. He's standing for the gospel. He's standing against the enemy. That is our lives. We sit, we walk, we stand. You will find these seasons repeating all the time. Somewhere you will be in a sitting phase, or in a walking phase, or in a standing phase. So Paul is in a standing phase at the moment. He's defending the gospel. He's been before the mob of Jews in Jerusalem, defending the gospel there. He's been before the religious authority, the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. He's been in Caesarea before Felix, defending the gospel there. Now he's before Festus, his fourth defense already, and he's standing for the gospel. So we find Felix, we talked about him the previous time, he was trembling in his boots because Paul was preaching to him for 2 years. About righteousness, about self-control, about the end of age, the judgment at the end of age. And what is so sad about Felix is that even though he and his wife Drusilla, she was a Jew, even though they heard Paul for 2 years, they never made a decision for Christ. The word was penetrating into their hearts. Like I said, he was shaking in his boots. What the Bible said, he was shaking because of fear, but he never made that decision, always procrastinating. And we see this in our lives, that sometimes we procrastinate. We think we can still make a decision the next day. We don't know if there is a next day. It is God's grace that we are sitting here this morning. That means we have a purpose on this earth. That means that there is somebody that still needs to hear the gospel from us. Every one of us is teachers. preachers. I'm not the only preacher here. Every one of us has been called for the ministry of reconciliation. So we're going to start with Festus. We finished with Felix now, and we're going to start with Festus. So where we are now on this map, we are here in the lower corner. We've moved from Jerusalem to Caesarea. Paul is on his way to Rome. Remember that when Paul was in prison in Jerusalem, Jesus appeared to him and he gave him another calling, another assignment. He said to him, "Paul, the facts that you gave of me in Jerusalem, I want you to go and give that same facts in Rome." So Paul knew this is his destiny. And even though his own brothers, I'm talking about in the Jewish faith, his brothers, his fathers, even though they are rejecting him in Jerusalem and also in Caesarea, even though the Roman authorities are rejecting him, he knows his purpose. He's not afraid of the Roman authorities. Remember, between Jerusalem and Rome, these are powerful authorities on earth at this time, in this context. Jerusalem representing the religion of the time, the Jewish religion. Rome representing the civil and political authority of the time. Both these powers are against Paul, and he's standing. He's not falling down. He's not crying. He's not complaining. He knows where he's going because Jesus has spoken to him. So he's on his way to Rome. He's in Caesarea now. He's for 2 years in Caesarea. Those are the 2 years that he spoke to Felix. Now Felix is gone. He's been recalled to Rome. The Caesar is not happy with him. And so a new procurator is now in Caesarea, and that is Festus. Procurator was the one that made decisions regarding whether you're going to live or die in the Roman world. So let's start reading. Acts 25 verse 1. Then entering the province after 3 days, Festus went from Caesarea to Jerusalem. So this is how he starts his term. First goes to Jerusalem, because he's got to manage the Jews. If Caesar hears that he cannot manage the Jews, and there is not peace in the provinces, the province that he's responsible for is Cilicia, Syria, and Judea. Those are the provinces he's responsible for. If there's not peace in those provinces, he will be recalled to Rome. So he's got a tricky job. Now he goes to Jerusalem first. And the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they begged him, asking a favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, making a plot to kill him on the way. So it's 2 years later. If you can remember, there was 40 assassins that said, "We will not eat or drink until Paul is dead." Now it's 2 years later. They still want to murder Paul. Who do you think is behind this? We have an enemy, people. Let me rather call you saints. We have an enemy, saints. Saints of Jesus Christ. There is an enemy out to get us. John 10:10 says that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus comes to give us life and life in abundance. So always know, if you hear about murder, plotting to kill him, there's an enemy behind them. People come against you, it's not them. There's someone behind them pulling the strings. They begged him, asking a favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, making a plot to kill him on the way. Then indeed Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea. He himself would depart shortly. So Festus, just starting his term, the Roman law worked this way. You bring an accusation against somebody. The procurator, in this case Festus, will listen to your accusation. You give the one that is being accused, you give him a chance to defend. But the one bringing the accusation must bring proof of what he's accusing them of. In this case, every time we've seen that it's basically thrown out of the court, because there's no proof of the accusations. The accusations was normally Paul is against the temple, Paul is against the law, Paul is against Caesar. And nowhere could it be proved. In the same year, it couldn't be proved in front of Festus. Then he said, those having power among you may go down with me. If there is a thing amiss in this man, let them accuse him. And staying among them more than 10 days, going down to Caesarea, on the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. And he having come, the Jews who came down from Jerusalem stood around and brought many charges against Paul, which they could not prove. So they're back in Caesarea, they're accusing Paul, and Festus is hearing them out. So we have Festus, first of all, in Jerusalem. We have Festus with Paul in Caesarea. Now, the next part of the plot, remember, Festus said they must hear Paul in Caesarea. Now, Festus wants to please the Jews. Listen to this. Defending himself, Paul said, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I offended in anything. But Festus, wanting to please the Jews, answered Paul and said, will you go up to Jerusalem and be judged there before me about these things? But Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. So remember, I said just now, Jesus appeared to Paul in Jerusalem and said, you must go to Rome and you must go and speak of me there. Paul is not afraid to die. You know, if you go back to Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin will find a way to kill him. But Paul knows he's on his way to Caesar. He's on his way to Rome. Hear what he says. I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if there is nothing of which these accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then conferring with the Sanhedrin, Festus answered, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. So in our courts, which comes out of British law, Roman law, Dutch law, and we've also adopted it to our South African law, the Constitution is South African law. We can, if we're not happy with our verdict that which the attorney or which the magistrate, the verdict of the magistrate, if we're not happy with that, we can appeal to a higher law, like the High Court. In this case, you can also appeal to the High Court with Roman law, but you can also appeal to Caesar if you are a Roman citizen. And we know with Paul, he is a Roman citizen. So that's what he's doing here. He's appealing to Caesar. He knows that he doesn't want to go back to Jerusalem. He knows it's not the Lord's will for him. The Lord's will is for him to go to Rome. And that's why he's appealing to Caesar. This puts Festus in a very tricky situation. He doesn't want Paul to go to Caesar. Because it's going to be found out that he cannot make a verdict. We're saying Festus is procrastinating on the verdict. As Felix was procrastinating on his salvation, Festus is doing the same on this verdict. He doesn't want to say Paul is not guilty. He doesn't want to make that verdict. So now Paul will go to Rome, and the Caesar will see, okay, but Festus is not doing his job, let me remove him. So it's a very tricky situation he's in. So we find these two forces, touched on it just now. We have Rome and we have Jerusalem. Jerusalem representing the religious power, Rome representing the civil power. And Paul is in between these two powers. I'm going to read to us 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 2. Actually, I want to go just a verse earlier. Let me just find a Bible here. Whenever you see in your Bible a verse starting with, first of all, therefore. Just go back a verse or the previous chapter and see why is he saying therefore, or first of all. One of the other translations, instead of first of all, says therefore. So, just want to go to the previous chapter, 1 Timothy 1, at the end. I'm going to start from about verse 16. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen. Then we have 1 Timothy 2. We have here, first of all then, I exhort that supplications. In the previous chapter, it talks about our walk in faith, our fight in faith, to wrestle in faith. Then he says, therefore, because you're wrestling in faith, I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. So that, here's the reason why we must pray for everybody, and especially for leaders. So that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For God is one, and there is one mediator of God and of men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Paul is on his way to Rome. Paul is on his way to the highest authority in the earth at that time, and that is Caesar. I think it was Augustus at that time, but shortly afterwards it will change to Nero. Paul will die at the hands of Nero a few years later. I think about 2 years later, he will die at the hands of Nero. But he's calling on the highest authority. He's also going to get an opportunity to speak to the highest authority in Rome. God is granting us these opportunities sometimes to speak to leaders. He puts us in places that we would never imagine, to stand before leaders and live our life to be that letter of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's not just always about talking, but it's living that letter from the heart. That is what God calls us to. The season and time, it's interesting that we are speaking about the authorities of Rome. Because even in our world today, there is authorities. The world is upside down. If you look at what is happening in Israel, Marilee just came back, she will be able to tell us much more. All the countries in the Middle East around is focused on Israel to eliminate them. Ukraine and Russia is at each other's throats. The whole world is upside down. China is looking at Taiwan to conquer that island. Where we are today in South Africa, we are just before elections. You see how this verse applies. If we want peace where we live, pray for everybody. Why does he say that? If you read a little bit further there, you'll see that God's heart, the Father's heart, is for everyone to be saved. It's not, his heart is not that we live in peace, but that everyone, we live in peace so that it's easier for people to become saved. That peace that he talks about is the peace of the Holy Spirit. It's so that people can be saved, that people can come to the knowledge of the truth. So every one of us are in different spheres in life. You touch different world. I can't go and speak where you are. I can't go to the campus and start speaking over there. But where you are is legal ground. At the hospital, you've got legal ground to speak there, to live your life, to live the life of Jesus Christ there. In the week I was listening to a testimony of a lady from Iran when she was very young. I think Yolanda, I spoke to you about it. When she was very young, she went to America, and her, Her parents never wanted her to have anything to do with Christianity. But when she went to university, she got saved. And then the Lord called her back to Iran, where the IRGC, Iran Republican Guard, where they kill you if you are not a Muslim. And when she came off the plane, they asked her to fill in what is her faith, and she put there Muslim. And she had to go and repent and say, Lord, because of fear of man, I feared for my life, and I put there Muslim, where I know I'm a Christian. Please give me another chance. 2 years later, at our home church, she was arrested, and the IRGC guard, the captain, said to her, just tell us that you're Muslim and I will let you go. She had an opportunity again. And this time she could confess the Lord Jesus. The amazing story, the amazing end of that story is that he said to her, but tell me your story, I must write it down because we have to charge you. When she gave her testimony, he was in tears. And he came to the Lord. The other guards couldn't believe that their captain came to the Lord. So where we are, we have authority. We've got a legal right to speak, to live our lives there. And you may not think it will make a change, but the light that is in you is forcing the darkness back. Whether it's the workplace, whether it's the campus, wherever you are making a change. Paul, in this story, was making a change in Caesarea. He's going to make a change in Rome. Why? Because that is the destination, that is the plan, the destiny that Jesus had for him. And he was not afraid of the authorities, whether it was religious or civil. He was not afraid because Jesus spoke to him. So we have Jesus speaking to us. Every one of us has this Bible. We have Jesus speaking to us every day. We just need to open this Bible, read it, and say, Holy Spirit, show us who the Father is. The Father's heart is for everyone to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't be hung up with elections. God uses the country, what may look like chaos. Pray over it. Genesis 1 verse 1, when the Holy Spirit brooded over the chaotic waters of this earth before it was formed, out of that brooding of the Holy Spirit, the word was spoken, let there be light. It can happen even today, that there can be light in South Africa. So never give up. Always have hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is not in a party or a government. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Governments come and go. Rome fell. It wasn't long after this. It was about, I think it was 130 after Christ, Rome fell. The strongest empire on earth. And in Daniel, you see, it was the empire of steel. It fell. It didn't last. Every empire will come to an end. God is the one that raises and closes. He shuts them down, he raises a new empire up. So let's look at him, even in this week that is coming. Not lose up. Think about Paul going to Rome, not fearing the religious or the political or civil authorities, but looking at Jesus and knowing in his heart, having peace that Jesus gave a plan, and that plan will come to fulfillment. Okay, let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that we can look at you. Lord, if we look at this world, we want to give up hope. But the hope that we have is that you are coming again. That you are the King of Kings. That you will come set your new city of Jerusalem down on this earth, and you will rule from there forever and ever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you're coming for a bride. And you have given us your Holy Spirit, that we have the security and the confidence that forever and ever you will be with us. Thank you for your word. Let us walk with this word in our hearts. And let us be encouraged by your word and by your Holy Spirit. in Jesus' name.